Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The American Red Cross in this morning, and specifically we're going to talk about sickle cell. And lots to talk about this morning, and a full house. Alexis Innes with us from the American Red Cross, and I'll let her introduce some of our guests in just a second this morning. But Alexis, it is so good to have you back. We get together every few months and talk about this kind of stuff, but especially now to focus on sickle cell. This has been a passion of yours for a long time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you.
It's a big deal around here.
It is a big deal around here. And, you know, I think it's something that we don't talk about enough. I know it doesn't necessarily affect a ton of people. One in 365 babies born in the United States are diagnosed with sickle cell, especially if they're African American. And it's something that affects African Americans and patients who are Black more frequently than it does any other population. And one of the things that we observed with the American Red Cross is during the pandemic, where people normally donate, we started to lose a lot of our donors. Workplaces were shutting down, schools were shutting down. And so being able to provide that blood, that specially matched blood for our sickle cell patients, was becoming harder and harder to do. But I'm so happy that we're on the other side now. It's 2025. We're a couple years out of the pandemic now, right? I mean, I don't know. We still feel a lot of the effects of the pandemic, but certainly with our emphasis on the importance of inviting everybody who's eligible to donate, right? 62%, we talk about this all the time, are eligible, but only 3% give. And so sometimes people need that extra education, that extra knowledge to know, why are we asking you to donate? Who is getting my blood? Why is it important for me to signify my race? You know, why does that matter? And I'm here to tell you why. You know, because somebody on the other end is waiting for that specially matched blood product to treat conditions like sickle cell, where they need specially matched blood to live. And so I'm happy to invite our guests on today to talk more about their experiences with sickle cell. I've got Clara here, who is my sickle cell warrior, and I've got Beth from FASCA, and also I'm happy to introduce to our Fredericksburg audience Mary Coleman, who is our emerging market manager, who specifically works in educating our community about the need for blood, and specifically the need for donors who are Black to help us in our sickle cell mission.
It is great to have you all here. Thank you for getting up early and coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Claire, you were in last year, and you had one of the most compelling stories that I have ever heard. And we'll talk about that as we go along. Thank you for coming in. And this is such an important topic, and you live it, and your family lives it every day.
Thank you for having us again.
It really is something that is so personal, and you opened my eyes to where I thought, well, in healthcare everything's taken care of, but sickle cell is really one of those instances where really it's not getting the attention it should.
No, and like Alexa said, please donate because we need the blood. I've had two hospitalizations since I came here on your show. And they were having a hard time finding blood, a match for me, because I have these antigens that, you know, they need to make sure that the blood they give me have those antigens in them. And it took several days, and I was in pain in the hospital. Eventually, they found the blood, but it took time.
Wow. See, we hear about, Alexis and I talk about this all the time, about the 3% giving. Mm-hmm. But boy, you're somebody, you needed a specific thing and you had to wait.
Correct. And that antigen is found in African Americans. So donors out there, please, because I was in a very critical state and it took several days. Yes. Mm.
You don't think you would hear that.
No.
In America. You just don't.
No.
We just assume you need blood, Claire, you'll get blood.
Correct.
Wow. See, that is a powerful story.
And even thinking, I was in the hospital bed and my sister was like, I thought you know someone at American Red Cross. And I said, yes. So I called Alexis, and she's like, we're still looking, you know. We've sent messages out there, but it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Mary, that's what you're, as Alexis talked about, what you do, you know, looking for ways to get that word out, because it's just terrifying to hear as a patient. I can't imagine to just be waiting.
Yeah,
for this.
Yeah. I mean, everything I know about this topic I've learned from my time at the Red Cross, which has been about 18 months. And I have a dual responsibility to, first and foremost, educate the community about this need. And as you said, like, you don't know about it until you meet someone who has this disease and understand the ways they suffer. And I had heard about sickle cell disease myself as an African American. I have sickle cell trait. I've always known that. But I did not know the way these patients suffer. So going out to churches, fraternities, sororities, community groups, the HBCU colleges, and talking to people about sickle cell disease, about these unique antigens that are found on people with African ancestry, and then encouraging them to donate. So that's my second role, is to actually help with recruiting to ensure that we boost the numbers of African Americans or people who identify with African ancestry to actually participate in our blood drives.
It sounds like you. I knew people in this area, and people who'd passed away, and knew stories. But it was when Clara came last year and just really put a name and just showed us what was going
on. Super compelling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Beth, you're with the Fredericksburg Sickle Cell Association, and thank you for what you do in this area. And like everyone has said, it's here, but it doesn't get the attention that it should.
Agreed. And that's what FASCA, and as you said, that represents Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. That's our mission. We've been around for about 53 years now. We were founded by, I'm sure many of the listeners know, the previous mayor of Fredericksburg, Reverend Lawrence Davies. And he and his wife, Janice Davies, started the organization. They had two daughters that had sickle cell.
Yeah.
And so they knew firsthand some of the challenges in the community for more education, more need for donations of blood to support. And so just carrying on the message from that start is what our organization does today. So our mission is all about education, advocating, lobbying our medical, having more governmental research done, all to assist patients like Clara and also their families. It's an impact that not only of the patient, but also the family that's helping to support. So our organization is all about supporting the clients and their families, not only through crisis, but just support all year long.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue this conversation. Good stuff this morning as we talk with the American Red Cross and about sickle cell. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking sickle cell this morning. The American Red Cross in and have brought a number of great guests to talk about this morning. Alexis Innes from the Red Cross. Before we go any further, Alexis, we should talk just for a second about what sickle cell is.
Certainly. Sickle cell is a genetic disorder. It's something that you're born with. It's actually one of the ways that humans have developed to avoid catching malaria. Malaria is a blood parasite that lives in your red blood cells. But if you have sickle cell, or the genes that make your red blood cells denature and turn into sickle shapes, malaria can't live there. So when you find malaria, or when you find sickle cell in the world, you're going to find it around the equator. So we're going to find it in Africa. We're going to find it in India. We're going to find it in the Mediterranean area. So there's lots of ethnicities. There's lots of people all over the world. It's the number one global genetic disorder that exists, is sickle cell. However, in America, you know, being America, the people who are most affected by this are folks of African ancestry, folks who identify as Black or African American. They're the ones who are going to be suffering the most from this. And when we talk about when a patient goes into pain crisis, typically if a when a child is born with sickle cell, right around 6 months of age, when the fetal hemoglobin, thank you, Clara, begins to turn to adult hemoglobin, that turning on of that protein is what causes crisis. And when a child has a sickle cell trait or sickle cell, when a child has sickle cell, that gene turns on and those red blood cells begin to denature, become sickle shaped. They're sharp. They have sharp edges. And when they're traveling through all of the internal organs, all of the blood vessels, they're scraping against the sides of there and it's causing a lot of pain. And what parents typically notice is that they have an unconsolable child and they don't know what's going on. And so they bring their child to the doctor's office. You know, they might go to their primary care or something. And so typically, nurses, doctors, they don't necessarily even know what the signs are. You know, maybe they think the child's colicky. Maybe they think something, oh, just give them this, just try that. But when a child's in sickle crisis, there's nothing that's going to be able to console them. Typically, they need to be treated at a specialty center, given pain medication, and typically given blood transfusions to help prevent those red cells, denatured red cells, from continuing to cause damage in the body. So patients can go into crisis anytime. It's very unpredictable. It is sometimes stress related. Sometimes it's weather related. Sometimes it has to do with the altitude. You know, going on hikes in the mountains and things like that. You know, even just small little changes. Exercise outdoors, especially we've seen this with athletes in the summertime when they're doing those rigorous exercises out, and it's very humid out. It's very hot out. They're not getting enough water. It can trigger a sickle crisis. And if you're not familiar with it, if you don't know what's going on, it's just incredibly terrifying. And basically the best way that we treat patients in sickle crisis is to give them pain medication, replace those red blood cells. And sometimes they can be hospitalized from anywhere from a couple of days to up to a month, and maybe receiving several pints of blood to replace those sickled red blood cells. So having blood on the shelf when it's needed in crisis, whenever it happens, is so vital to the mission and vital to our patient care.
And as Mary Coleman with the Red Cross, that's why it's so important as we talk about this, to have knowledge about it, to have the community involved, and providing, whether it's providing money for research or whether it's providing, especially if you're African American, giving blood is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can find those unique antigens on anyone. It's possible that you're not African American and you still have those antigens that those patients need.
Oh, okay.
That is possible, but it's just more likely. 1 in 3 African Americans have that match, so that's why we want to educate that community. But even more broadly, as you mentioned, you know, there hasn't been the same amount of research money invested in sickle cell disease. We do have some medications now that patients can take to change the behavior of the sickled cells. They don't stick together as much, but it's not exactly a cure. There is a gene therapy now that is a cure, but it costs $2.5 million. Not every patient is eligible for it, and not every hospital can do it.
Well, and that's one of the huge problems. It's just not talked about.
Right.
You think of so many other things that we spend a lot of time hearing about and talking about. This isn't one of them. That's why I appreciate what the Red Cross is doing around here in talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I often say that if you would never know a sickle cell patient by looking at them on the street. Right, and they're not going to be necessarily in the St. Jude's Research Hospital commercials. They're not bald, and they're not in a wheelchair necessarily, right? And so they don't get that same attention. But their pain is been described as glass flowing through my body. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, the pain is 100. And so letting people know that no matter whether you have the antigens to match a sickle cell patient or not, there's somebody in the hospital who's suffering, who needs blood, and they can't go get it from CVS. It's got to come from us.
Mm. Claire, that was what made your story so compelling last year when you described how you could feel the pain coming and just what the pain was like.
Yes, the pain, it's unbelievably painful. Like, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And it just, sometimes it starts with a headache and then it just travels all over. It's painful, yeah.
It will last until you get a blood transfusion?
It depends. So sometimes you can manage it at home with, you know, pain meds, but when it's pretty bad, you have to go into the hospital where you get fluids, you get oxygen, and if you're anemic, you know, then the transfusion comes into play.
When you talked about it last year, what also struck me was the fact that those of us who are not in contact with it don't understand it. And no. You talked about it in the workplace and how people don't understand, and it can be difficult sometimes to explain to employers why you can't function at times.
Yes, and it's important to have that support system or empathy. It starts with, you know, family, friends, you know, the triage nurses, the doctors, you know. It starts with us educating them and helping them understand what we're feeling and what we're going through. Sometimes even oxygen can help, you know, not take the pain away, but it opens up the cells, right, and it helps you feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you may be in the emergency room and you're asking, oh, please, can I have fluids or can I have oxygen? And a nurse is looking at you going, are you a doctor? And I'm like, no, but I know, you know, like the basics, and I know what can help me, right? Yeah, so.
The fact that's even questioned has to be just really frustrating.
Yes, it is.
It's a universal thing that I hear when I talk to sickle cell patients, is that they wait as long as possible before going to the hospital because they know they're going to have to fight the medical community to get the treatment they need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Drug-seeking behavior because they know the amount of and the dosage of narcotic medicine maybe that can help them treat. Because as Clara was experiencing in February, not only did she hit the double whammy of having her sickle crisis in the middle of a snowstorm, but we were also having a shortage of drug medication that she specifically needs to treat her sickle cell crisis. And not all drugs are the same. Some can not exacerbate things, but they don't take the edge off, really, right? There's certain dosages, there's certain drugs that are specifically requested by sickle patients, but you knowing what dosage you need and requesting certain drugs, they're like, well, how do you know that? You're probably just here trying to get some drugs, you know what I mean? And it's like, and I think the other part too that was really difficult with Clara sharing her story was when you're in crisis, you're not yourself. And it's not even like your worst self. It's not even finding yourself on your worst day. It's like the day that you have crawled up from underneath the ground to try to get to the hospital to get treatment. And when you are in that state and you're begging for oxygen, you're begging for fluids, you're begging for drugs to help take the pain away, and you're being met with such resistance from nurses or doctors or just being in disbelief about you being an advocate for yourself. It's so important for our patients with sickle cell to have that patient advocate, to have somebody there with them, to be able to have these conversations. I mean, Clara called me from her bedside, and it wasn't until I got on the phone with the nurse and said, hey, what's the holdup? What's going on? That the nurse finally like kind of perked up and was like, this is real. You know what you're talking about? Yes, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Clara knows exactly what she's talking about. She's in sickle crisis and she needs blood now. So what's going on? And it really, having that support system is so vital to our sickle patients to be able just to get their needs met, and being able to communicate and tell our community about that so that we can help continue to educate and have support for our patients.
And just like Mary said, Claire, I can see where you would wait just because you know you don't feel good, but you've got a fight in front of you.
Yes.
Just to get basic things,
yes. And I even forgot about the incident where not only was I waiting on blood, but there was a shortage of Dilaudid. And unfortunately, that's the only pain medicine that I'm able to tolerate. Mm. So they kept saying, well, we can give you morphine. I'm like, I can't take morphine. I'm allergic to it, yes. But it was as if, oh, all you want is pain medicine, so why don't you just take what we have, right? Yes.
It's not just pain.
So, I think what's important is the advocacy.
Right.
Yes. We really have to be, the community has to be spokespeople, if you will, in all areas, including the medical institutions. I'm happy, since our last visit with you, that FASCA has been working with Mary Washington Hospital, and they have been great. Just the listening ear that we've been able to provide them from our clients that come to the hospital. And they've, I'll say, updated their protocols in the emergency room based on feedback from our clients that they've welcomed and heard from us. So they have a standard emergency room protocol for sickle cell patients. It's a pathway for how they identify, triage, and just do the initial assessments assessment for somebody who comes in with a crisis. So we're really proud of our efforts and partnership with them. Certainly as a hospital in the community that treats sickle cell clients. So, you know, again, the advocacy and the listening ear from the community and working with institutions so we can all certainly help patients when they are in need.
And that's the importance of having something like the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association, that you're able to take Claire and other stories to area hospitals and talk about this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, we will be meeting with them quarterly. And this has been an initiative as far as partnering with them and ensuring that we're the voice of the clients to area medical institutions. So we've worked with them before, have a great working relationship. And most recently, they have updated this, and we've been at the table. We've been invited to the table as they implement this new protocol. And so we're really happy that, you know, we look forward to the more success stories of our patients going in and having to deal with the crisis and getting the care that they need from the hospitals.
If someone wants to get involved with the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association, what's the best way to find out more information or to connect up with you guys?
Oh, well, we would love that. We have probably about 30 volunteers that work with the organization now. And the best way would be to go to our website, which is FASCAonline.com. FASCAonline.com. That's our website. It has contact information where you can get in touch with us. And we'd love to have you come and join us as we advocate for clients within our community.
FASCAonline.com, redcrossblood.org for the American Red Cross. Beth Sinkler here from the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. Mary Coleman and Alexis Innes from the Red Cross, and Clara Sentry here as a patient dealing with all of this. Much more to talk about. We'll take a quick break and come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning as we talk about sickle cell blood, the American Red Cross in this morning with Alexis Innes and Mary Coleman. Clara Sentry is here as a patient, a sickle cell patient, and Beth Sinkler with the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. Beth, I can't help but think that, boy, you just hope with these stories and as you work with the hospital and in various organizations, the people we start learning these stories and start advocating for sickle cell. This is an important topic that just doesn't get the recognition it needs.
Agreed. And, you know, we're trying to get out in the community. We go to health fairs. We have lots of educational materials to share, talk with people one-on-one, and just ask that they support others who are just, you know, come across difficult times in life. And Mary has spoke to the quality of life. You know, we all want that for one another, and it's just ensuring that you know, everybody has quality of life in whatever way we can help with that. Mm-hmm. And that's what FASCA is all about, is sharing that message in our community to help educate and make certain that we can provide support.
So if you know of someone or you yourself that can be helped by FASCA, F-A-S-C-A, online.com, the website to find out more about the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. And like you said, you've been around for a long time, 50-plus years, yeah. And the need is continues to be there.
Oh, it certainly is. We have had, I'll say, probably about three that I'm familiar with, of our patients that we've supported who have had the bone marrow transplant. Mm. And one had a stem cell transplant, which helps to cure the disease. And out of the three that I know, we did have one of our patients that passed away, and that was due to complications with COVID. Mm-hmm. So there's hope out there, and there's support. And we just want to make certain that we're educating. We appreciate the opportunity on your show today just to share the message. We are a nonprofit organization, and so we're funded by donations, so we appreciate that as well, so that we can continue our efforts to get the word out, because again, it's not always talked about, it's not easily understood, and so organizations such as FASCA are here, and we're accessible. We love volunteers, and we appreciate those that are able to support us in our efforts.
FASCAonline.com, again, to get in touch with the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. Clara, I remember when you came in last year, and we talked about understanding it. I mean, I remember you certainly understand it, because you talked about your mother. You talked about your daughter and your daughter having to be kind of a provider for you when you do run into situations.
Yes. In February, when I was sick, I had just returned from a work trip, and I was with her, and my daughter had to call the ambulance because mm-hmm. it was just the two of us at home. Of course, my neighbors a good support system, but their phones were off that evening, so she had to sit in the ambulance with me to Mary Washington because she's 14. I couldn't mm-hmm. leave her at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so it's just those kinds of things, and not knowing
mm-hmm. when it's gonna happen. Yes.
I mean, you know, I guess as we've talked about that there are some things that can bring it on, but mm-hmm. sometimes you have no control over any of those kinds of things. No.
And even coming into contact with people with colds, and because I was at a conference that week, so I think I had come into contact with someone with either COVID or flu, mm-hmm. and that just set it off for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on my way home, I knew that I wasn't feeling well, but then I was like, oh, I'm just going to go home and, you know, take some pain meds and rest and some cold medicine, and it just went out of control. Mm-hmm.
And that's why, at times, as you talk about that, especially in the winter months, or if you're around people, I could see where you would probably wear a mask.
A mask, yes. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times now, especially in this day and age, if someone's wearing a mask, you'll have people saying why they wearing a mask.
Right. Right.
Well, there might be very good reasons.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a cousin who never went to school in the winter because she was always too cold. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't an elevator. This was back in the 80s. And she couldn't do the stairs. So, you know, none of us ever knows what someone's going through, no mm-hmm. matter who they
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to really shine a light on this particular challenge is important to us.
And I would think just employers to be able to have a boss that's understanding.
Yes.
Because, like I said, if you and I pass on the street, I'm not looking at and saying, oh, she's probably got sickle cell. You just, nobody knows.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That is important. So I recently switched roles. I'm still with the same company. And I had to educate my new manager on, because I joined her team, and within 2 weeks, I had an episode. And just trying to educate her to understand, you know, what was happening. And with me, when I'm feeling better. I just like to work, right? And to her point, she was like, no, you need to sign off and take care of yourself. And I'm just like, well, it's not preventing me from working, right? Because I work on the computer, so all I need is my laptop, my headphones, and I can get the job done. And she's like, no, sign off and take care of yourself. So when I got, I did take off, but when I came back into the office, you know, we had a call, and I explained to her, I'm like, this is how I operate. Like, when I can't do it, trust me, I won't do it.
Yeah.
And my former boss even stepped in and was like, yeah, we've been working with her for over 2-3 years, and that's just how she is. When she can't log on, she'll let you know. But when she says she can work, she truly can. Yes.
There's so much education. Yeah. There is really so much education. You've all talked about it, mm-hmm. and it's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a universality to, first of all, the need for blood, and probably everybody on the planet knows somebody who received a blood transfusion for some purpose. Mm-hmm. A mother giving birth, somebody who's mm-hmm. receiving cancer treatment, somebody who's had a surgery, right? So our ability to empathize with a sickle cell patient, we can draw from our own experience with our loved ones or ourselves, and any one of us could need blood by the end of today. Mm-hmm. And so it's just sort of a compelling case. There's a lot of division in the world, but this is something that we can unify around. We all need blood, and we can all share if we're eligible. And there's nothing better than being able to say, I helped save 3 lives today. Like, in about 45 minutes, yeah. I helped save 3 lives.
Yeah, and we talk about it. But again, just to go back to the start of the show, when Clara talked about being in, you know, in waiting.
Yeah.
No one wants to be in that situation.
Exactly.
You just assume that we're going to go in. So it is so important to advocate, if you can give blood, to give blood.
Absolutely.
And that's why we have September as our Sickle Cell Awareness Month. You know, it's a month that we're literally just highlighting and showing the importance. And we talk all the time, you know, because I'm here every 56 days. So in January, we always make our New Year's resolution, right? This is yep. going to be the year. What am I going to set my goals for? I'm so happy to be able to be a blood donor now. I'm a sickle cell fighter. So my blood is a special match for patients with sickle cell. It's the gold standard. It's O positive, CEK negative. I'm so blessed to be healthy, be able to give. And I told you in January, my goal was to get to 2 gallons. I just donated my 2 gallons a week. I got my Snoopy t-shirt to celebrate my 2 gallon donation this year. So, you know, if everybody gives when they're eligible, you're eligible every 56 days with a whole blood donation. You're eligible every 4 months with a Power Red donation. Find out if you're eligible. You just have to be 110 pounds. You have to be at least 16 with your parents' permission, 17 and up. And you have to be in general good health. What does that mean? You can take antihistamines, you can be on birth control, you can have high cholesterol or high blood pressure and still be able to donate blood. So what you're thinking, why you can't donate, 62% are eligible. The number one reason why people don't give is nobody's asked them. So we're here today asking your audience, asking the Fredericksburg community, asking anybody who can hear us, please join us in this life-saving mission. Roll up your sleeve. It costs you an hour of your time, and it doesn't cost you anything more than that. You might get some juice and cookies. You might get a cute little t-shirt or some cool sunglasses. But at the end of the day, you're going to be helping somebody who needs blood, and you're going to be saving their life because they can't live without it. And we can't get it from any other source. We can't dig it up in the dirt. We can't mine it in a mountain. We can only get it from generous blood donors. So please join us in our life-saving mission, redcrossblood.org. Put in your zip code, find out where our blood drive is, and join us.
Mary Coleman with the Red Cross. And it would only take, you just think, if just a few people today decided, I'm going to start doing this.
Absolutely, yeah.
It just takes a few.
Yeah, and bring a friend, right? I looked up your zip code, and we've got about 15 blood drives just in the 22405 zip code for the rest of September, Sickle Cell Awareness Month. So there's always going to be a blood drive that's convenient to you. So that makes it easy. Right?
It is easy. And if you did 22401, you'd probably get even more.
Exactly.
And so they are all around here.
Exactly.
And that's not an excuse
anymore.
That's
not an excuse. And also, if there are organizations that want to get on board with us and be a sponsor for hosting blood drives, we would definitely want to have that conversation too. The more, the merrier.
Right. And especially in the African American communities.
Absolutely, yes.
That's where that will help the sickle cell situation.
Yes.
incredibly.
And I do want to point out, like right now, as part of our sickle cell initiative, we're doing sickle cell trait testing. So if you identify with African ancestry on your health history, we will screen your blood specifically for the sickle cell trait. That's not the disease. It's a marker, a genetic marker for the disease. And this is important because if someone who has the trait has a child with someone who has the trait, they have a 1 in 4 chance of having a child with the disease. And so we are especially telling young people, if you don't know your trait status, this is an important health marker that you need to know. So we're doing that for free right now. Added benefit.
Okay, that's another great thing. Beth Sinkler with the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association, and I'm sure just even around here to educate, like you say, you've said it over and over again, educate, to get more people involved locally, and just to get more people to talk about this is so important. Whether it's to talk about it in their workplace or in their church or wherever.
Absolutely. Very happy to have a couple of initiatives this month, since it's National Sickle Cell Month, that we're doing is we have an annual walkathon activity. And so this will be our 31st annual walkathon. So we've had it a number of years. So we're very excited. And we would love the support of the community to join us. It's on September 13th, Saturday, starts at 9 a.m. And it's going to be at the Spotsylvania YMCA. And so you can go again to our website, which is FASCAonline.com, for more information on how you can register. But just come right on out and join us in that walk, and we'll be sharing stories from our patients, having a good time, but again, an opportunity to educate the community. And we do have a large event in November. So on November 8th, it's called our Family and Friends Banquet. We're dedicating it this year, again, to our founders, Reverend Lawrence Davies and Mrs. Janice Davies, who have now passed away. But their legacy lives on through this effort. And so that banquet will highlight and celebrate the legacy of caring, is what we're calling that. So that's on November 8th. It starts at 5 p.m. and it's at the River Club Church. So again, all of these information activities can be accessed on our website. But we want to educate, but yet have initiatives that people want to come and enjoy, and also learn about sickle cell. So those are different ways in which we reach out to the community and do education through different activities and events.
Beth, Mary, Alexis, and Claire are here this morning as we talk about sickle cell. We'll take one final break and conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking blood this morning, specifically sickle cell, with the American Red Cross. Mary Coleman and Alexis Innes here from the Red Cross. Beth Sinkler is with the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association, and Clara Sentry is here as a person who deals with this and as a patient. Clara, you started us off with just such a compelling story about waiting for blood, and that's sort of been kind of the theme we've talked about and how important it is to give blood. No matter who you are or what you can give, your blood can be used. And in your situation, you had to wait. And that has to be scary and not only painful, but for you and your family.
Yes, it was scary. And I had to reach out to friends, family. And I'm happy that Alexis touched on who can donate and how. There are a lot of resources out there. Just go to AmericanRedCross.com if you're not sure. There are a lot of resources. There are a lot of blood drives. Put in your zip code, like Alexis said, and you can find places to donate. Because when you're in sickle cell crises, you're not just experiencing pain, but from what I've learned, it can also affect your organs. Mm-hmm. So it can affect your eyes, it can affect your heart, your lungs, major organs like kidneys. So we need the help. We need blood. We need awareness. We need all the resources and support that we can get. And as a member of FASCA, I'm fortunate to be part of an organization that's willing to advocate for us. Mayor Washington, as Beth said, is a great partner. They give us a seat at the table. But we need a lot of volunteers because even during one of our meetings with Mayor Washington, I was supposed to be there, but I couldn't mm-hmm. because I was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I was so grateful that Beth and our president were able to step in, but volunteers are needed. Even if you don't have sickle cell or have someone in your family that lives with it, just come and help us out, you know, because a lot of people don't know what it is. And maybe with your help in your community, maybe your neighbor may even be suffering from sickle cell and you may not be aware mm-hmm. of it. So
yeah, well, because like you said, it's not like you can tell. Right. And but just to get the just to get the word out and how important for any patient to have blood available, but especially for sickle cell to need to have that. Like, mm-hmm. like you talk about, Alexis, on the shelf, and it takes some time to get it on the shelf, even from when I sit in the chair and they take it, you know, from me.
That's right. I mean, it takes 24 to 48 hours typically to process a blood donation. So it has to be tested, you know, goes through thorough testing. And even if we know what your blood type is, we're going to test it every single time because we're looking for different things each time. We might be doing some sickle trait testing on it. During the pandemic, we talked about our convalescent plasma that we had before. We had vaccines, we were using plasma convalescently, so we were testing for COVID antibodies. So we are trying to be as resilient and as fluid as possible as these things pop up for the next time that, you know, whatever's going on, we're already on the front lines ready to treat our patients, whatever blood needs that they might have. So being part of that means, you know, helping us out. Come and donate blood, you know, roll up your sleeve, select your race, let us know how the best way to get in touch with you. Download the app. The app's my favorite. You know, the app's my favorite. And that's certainly because of all of the, sorry about that, all of the testing that we need to know to be able to help our patients. Yeah. We want to make sure that we have it all tested and everything before it reaches the patient. So we know what it is. We know what antibodies are in the blood so we can use it to treat. Download the app. You also follow your blood, and you can see which hospital gets your blood. So you'll know, as a sickle cell fighter, I love looking at my map. I know where all of my sickle hospitals are. So sometimes it goes to UVA, sometimes it goes to VCU, sometimes it goes to some of our hospitals that we have in the Norfolk area. So being able to have that piece is a really great way to continue to tell that story for our patients as well.
RedCrossBlood.org, RedCrossBlood.org. Before we get out of here real quick, Beth Sinkler with the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. Clara mentioned it. Get involved locally. You've got, and you don't have to be somebody connected with anybody with sickle cell. If you care about people, get involved with what you're doing here.
Absolutely. We would love to have you volunteer with us. And again, we can be reached at FASCAonline.com. We also have a Facebook page, Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. So please join us. We would love to have you. And the more people that we can get involved, the more we can have for mm-hmm. outreach.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great story. And for you, Mary Coleman, the last word here, just that education and just get involved. Give your blood.
Absolutely. And address your fears. A lot of people are afraid of needles. They don't know what's going to happen to their blood. You know, I encourage people to address those fears. Don't let fear be the thing that stops you. Instead, think about who you can help. It's a great community service thing to do.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Claire, for your story and being willing to share it and just the fears and everything. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Alexis and Mary from the American Red Cross, thank you for what you all do and for being willing to come up here and talk with us so often. And Beth Sinkler with the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ted. Sickle Cell Awareness Month in September. Get involved in some way. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.